is our school of prayer again. What do? We learn to pray. Not only do we learn to pray, we also pray. And not only do we pray, we also learn to pray. All right? Why is that important? It is because without our words, the Lord cannot do what he wants to do on the earth. I keep on explaining that. Be very careful how you use your words. Be very careful. You watch your tongue when you are speaking, because that is the way by which you release power into the atmosphere. Don't ever forget it. It's by the things that you say all the time, the way you respond to situations. One of the things I learned, okay, in life is to watch my tongue, especially when it comes to my life and the things that depend upon me. No matter how I feel, God has given me that grace. I don't respond according to that feeling. I respond according to what I want to happen. I must never complain. Do you understand my point? I must never, never. It's a training in righteousness. It's a training in righteousness. Why? Because it's by the words that we speak that we release the power of God into the earth. And through that, we allow God to do what he wants to do. And that is why it's very important that we learn how to pray. All right? That just reminds us of what we are doing. Let's start today from the book of Psalms, chapter 16. Everybody declare it loudly. Say, I am being filled with the knowledge of his will. That's not impressing me enough. It's not loud enough. Say, I am being filled with the knowledge of his will.
I am being filled with the knowledge of his will.
Thank you. In all spiritual wisdom and understanding.
In all spiritual wisdom and understanding.
And as a result of this, I am walking in a manner worthy of the Lord. To please him in all respects. I am bearing fruit in every good work. And I'm increasing in the knowledge of God. All right, the Lord is good. All right, Psalm 16, let's read that one again. It said, preserve me, O God, for I take refuge in you. Remember what we've been talking about on our teachings on Saturdays is about the increase of God's kingdom. And I want us to take the things that we have been learning and they will convert them to words, because that's how we bring those things into reality in our lives. I've been trying to explain. So that this is a scripture we have been reading, so let's just go back to it. In verse 2, it says, I said to the Lord, you are my Lord. I have no good besides you. As for the saints who are in the earth, David said, they are the majestic ones in whom is all my delight. That is, they are my heroes. I like the way New Living Translation says that in verse 3. It said, the godly ones in the land are my true heroes. I take pleasure in them. That's New Living Translation. Back to the one I'm reading, New American Standard. In verse 4, it says, the sorrows of those who have battered for another God will be multiplied. I shall not pour out their drink offerings of blood, nor will I take their names upon my lips. The Lord is a portion of my inheritance and my cup. He said, you support my lot. The lions, he says, have fallen to me in pleasant places. Indeed, my heritage is beautiful to me. I will bless the Lord who has counseled me. Indeed, my mind instructs me in the night. I have set the Lord continually before me. Because he's at my right hand, I will not be shaken. Therefore, my heart is glad and my glory rejoices. My flesh also will dwell securely. For you will not abandon my soul, all right, to Sheol or to the grave. Nor will you allow your Holy One to undergo decay. You will make known to me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. In your right hand, there are pleasures forever. That's Psalm 16. Now, let me say something quickly about, just like I was saying earlier, about the Word of God. The way by which you control your actions is by what you say. I can't say that enough. One of the things, I was listening to one man the other day, and he talked about the reading of Scripture. Paul said, give attention to reading. He was writing to Timothy. Now, when he said, give attention to reading, the impression most of us have is that make sure you read your Bible. Okay? Now, actually, that was not what Paul said. What Paul said is that make sure you read it out loud like this. You get my point? Make it a matter of habit to make sure the scriptures are read out, all right, for people to hear publicly. That's what Paul was writing to Timothy. I want to bring out something from that, because this is our school of prayer. We are teaching on how to pray, to help us again concerning what we make habits of, okay? We have been talking about the issue of advancing the kingdom of God through, first of all, we'll go to another aspect of it later, maybe next Saturday. But the one we are up to now is talking about our own personal practice of righteousness and our own maintaining our salt, all right, our saltness, our savour as salt of the earth. We've been talking about that. Now, I'm going to emphasize the issue of, just briefly now, before I go into details about this, I want to bring out a habit for Christians. One of the habits you must create, which helps you, it guides you. What you do in life is directed by what you two things. One, what how you think, and then how you talk. Now, I said something last time when I was teaching about this, that how you talk has one advantage. It is something you can easily control, relatively. Even if you feel, you know, it's very common with Christians. If somebody is not feeling well, say, how are you? He says, I am strong. You understand my point? Okay, I'm strong. Run now. He cannot run. Are you getting my point? Now, that's not supposed to be a criticism. I'm trying to bring out an issue. You find that it's actually easy, all right, to redirect your words. It's easier than your actions. You can actually find it easier to control your words than to control your thoughts. Do you follow my point? Yes, words are actually easier. And my own understanding of it is that that's why, the reason why it's like that God gave it to us, because that is the thing we use to drive the rest of our system. And when we're talking about the habit of prayer as Christians, that's one thing we must bear in mind. The habit of praying is something we create. We learn how to speak the right words at all times. At all times. That's why Jesus said, ask and you shall receive, seek and you shall find, knock and the door will be open. The literal, if you read them, I think the Amplified Bible, it says, ask and keep on asking. It's a continual process, all right? It's something you make a habit of. Seek and you keep on seeking. I'm going to emphasize to us that the point about prayer is that it's a habit that we form. It's a habit that we form. That is why, all right, God gave us songs to be able to sing. Things that, let me give you an example this morning. For certain reasons, look, my head was just, what can I use to describe it? I was not settled. I didn't sleep well. Nothing was worrying me. Because I have so many things to do. Do you follow? I just decided to do them last night. And if you follow us, for example, you'll see you must have reviewed some of my meals at one odd hour yesterday. Because hey, just I was awake. I finished that one. I went to do something else. So by the time I woke up this morning, it was late. But then I had to go and give a lecture. By the time I woke up late, but I had to hurry out of the house. By the time I was leaving there, my head was literally aching. And the road was pulsating. You understand my point? I just looked for one of these Chris Del Vance tracks and put it in there. And I started singing along, you know. The Lord is my light and my life and the light of my life. I shall not be afraid. I use that thing to, you know, to cool off the tension. I was singing. I'm making an issue here. That's why, as believers, everything we say, we watch, even when it comes to song, all right? That's why you have no business listening to the bunch. Who cares who's the bunch? Me? I am not. Yes, I'm serious. You know, words, okay, are very powerful. I'm going to emphasize the fact that we make prayer a habit, including in the kind of songs that we sing. Now, back to what I'm saying. So, you see, that's why God gave us the book of Psalms as a book of songs. This was their book of songs. So, things like this are supposed to be a continual recitation from the mouths of Christians, because they control how you think. It starts with your words, but then they actually start controlling how you think, and they most importantly control how you act. Words are very powerful. Prayer is not just, you know, I've been saying that. Prayer is not just about making requests of God, but prayer is also just controlling your system by applying the word of God continually. Now, back to these Psalms that we're reading here. I was just reading it, it just struck me that it's a very beautiful thing to use to control your actions in these days in which, well, it's not just as if it's just that now I notice it. It's always been like that. Human beings are so materialistic, they are covetous, they are ambitious, okay? But you see what David is saying here? He's declaring something. He said, for example, preserve me, O Lord, for I take refuge in you. I said to the Lord, you are my Lord. Now, you are beginning to talk. I say, that's what you are saying now, to the Lord, you are my Lord. I have no good besides you. As for the saints who are in the earth, they are the majestic ones in whom is all my delight. If you see that in Lynn Levy's translation, I read it earlier. He said, the godly ones in the land are my true heroes. You know what you're trying to say here? When you utter words like that, man, now follow what I want to explain here. When you utter words like that, you know what you are doing? You are removing the richest men on the earth from the front of your eyes. You are saying the godly ones are my true heroes. That's something Christians must learn. To make people who practice righteousness their heroes. There was something I taught when I was in Ondo. You know, I was not around on Saturday. We traveled to go and do a program there where I was a guest minister. One of the things I taught to people there that, you see, one thing came to Christianity some time ago, and that's the one in which there was a mixture between the teaching of the Word of God and business principles. You've noticed it. I don't know whether you noticed that time. So you enter into a church, into a bookshop. Almost every Christian bookshop you know around, they always have a section on business methods. And those ones are populated with all kinds of human beings. Once you write on business, many of the people that Christians quote are not Christians. You know that. Anthony Robbins is not a Christian. One of these very famous one is a Mormon or is a Christian scientist. I've forgotten which one of them now. All right? Now, but the problem I'm trying to make is that, so in that process, you know what we did? We put rich men in front of us. For example, we are doing business training. We analyze the life of Dangote. We analyze the life of Michael Dell. I'm not saying they are bad people. I refer to certain issues about them once in a while. Dangote is my best example when I want to tell you, you don't have to go to America if money is your problem. People can stay in Nigeria and become the richest men in the earth. Or, you know, you understand my point. I refer to that. But we take people like that and put in front. We take Donald Trump and becomes the analysis. I want to say it's a mistake that Christians made. It's a terrible mistake. Do you know why? Because they are not the godly ones on the earth, yet we have made them our heroes. I think Christians should learn to put in front of them Mother Teresa. You know Mother Teresa? You remember her? Those are the kind of heroes that Christians should have. Very crucial. Put people like that in front of you. If you go and read my book, Great Faith Can Be Yours, I describe these things in there. The kind of heroes you have. But I'm not discussing that now. What I want to bring out is this. No matter how you feel, if you open your mouth and declare, as for the godly people in the land, is that the godly people in the land are my true heroes. I take pleasure in them. It doesn't matter how you feel. If you declare it like that, you know what happens? After a while, your body starts responding only to people who are godly. And this is the way you preserve that your saltness we are talking about. I'm thinking something here as part of our method of praying. We take scriptures like this and make it a song. Now, I don't mean you have to create a song out of it, but put it in your lips all the time. We're going to do it again today. It's the godly people on this earth, they are the ones that have pleasure in. Then he now explained to himself. He said, the sorrows of those who have battered for another God will be multiplied. Listen, if you speak that kind of word to yourself every day, then you realize that if you do pursue other gods, your sorrows will be multiplied. Now, these are the ways by which you control your own behavior. One of the diversions that the devil has given us in life, I think, is political analysis. What is Buhari up to? Why did he go to America? Did they give him anything? You sit down every day and analyze. Listen to me. Every word you speak is affecting you. I hope you get my point. If it's not a positive word, it's a negative one. People sit down every day. In fact, the worst of them is analysis of football. I thank God I don't watch football. I worship the Lord that I don't watch football. Not because football in itself is evil, but it has spared me hours and hours and hours of discussion because I don't know anything. When boys are talking, I don't know book. You get my point? When people are getting into those arguments, there's nothing. I have no idea. When I wanted to give examples the other day, I think it was in Ondo, I had to ask, like, tell me the name of one man that plays in Manchester United. I don't know one. Some of you are looking at, are you all right? Believe me, I'm fine. I'm not kidding. I don't know one. He had to tell me Rooney. Did he lie? Is it true, Sabi? Yes, sir. Because I quoted it. On the stage, I said, tell me one person. If I write down, do I know anybody that plays? Where does Ronaldo play? All of you know. The Lord is good. Now, I'm not saying football is evil. I'm just trying to bring out an issue. Because I don't know, I can't get involved in any discussion. I've seen men argue, you know, literally, they are there for 1 hour, almost punching themselves, explaining why that goal was right, was not right. I thank the Lord, I don't know. It saves me time because those things, they don't edify, they don't, what's the opposite of edify? They just waste time. And I'm so happy the good Lord delivered me from it. I have no idea. Maybe you should follow me. I'm a follower of Christ. Now, what I'm going to emphasize is that God gave us our mouths, okay, to control our lives. A lot of things we struggle with as habits is because we have not controlled our tongue. We have not controlled how we talk about them. We spend a lot of energy on things that don't edify, things that don't improve our lives. What am I trying to say? This Psalm 16, where I'm reading it on Saturdays, I'm bringing out as a prayer point. We take it and say, the saints who are in the earth, they are the majestic ones in whom is all my delight. The godly ones, yeah, Living Translation, the godly people in the land are my true heroes. I take pleasure in them. I speak to myself, troubles multiply for those who chase after other gods. For those who chase after money, troubles multiply. For those who chase after ambition, troubles multiply. For those who chase after worldly pleasure, troubles multiply. I declare that. Then I say in verse 5, which is where I'm actually going. I now declare, the Lord is a portion of my inheritance and my cup. I declare in verse 6, the lines are falling to me in pleasant places. What that means is that things are going to happen to me by accident that I did not deliberately plan, and they are going to be good things according to the will of God. He said, indeed, my heritage is beautiful to me. What was David saying here? That is, if I follow the Lord, he said, I will bless the Lord who has counseled me. David was trying to say, I'm looking for a particular scripture now. Where did I find it? Okay, yes. In verse 8, he says, I have set the Lord continually before me. Because he's at my right hand, I will not be shaken. What am I trying to say? Every time I speak like this, I'm declaring, what I declared in that one is that what happens to me by accident in life, okay, is going to be the will of God. That is, as long as I'm following after righteousness, good is going to come to me in this life. Listen, I declare this scripture every day. You know what happens? As a consequence, nobody will be able to entice me to do evil. You make me a minister in today's Nigeria, I will not even be tempted. Not because I'm strong in myself. No, that's not the point. The point is that I have taken the word of God and put it on my mouth at all times. That one begins to... Now listen, even while I'm being tempted to do what is wrong, if I recite these scriptures again and again and again, as a consequence, you know what happens? My life begins to get directed by the Spirit of God into doing what is right. That's what David meant when he says that he leads me in the path of righteousness for his own name's sake. The problem, I keep on saying, is that Christians don't know, generally speaking, okay, most Christians, they don't know the right prayers to pray. And that is why we have struggles in life a lot. Let me say this to you again. God does not expect that what you consider your problems will be a major prayer point. The Lord doesn't expect that your need for more money will be a major prayer point. Now, you'll say he has started again. I will start again. He does not expect you to get up every morning looking for where you can sow another seed so that you can have more money. The more seed you sow like that, the poorer you're going to get. Trust me. You know, I won't lie to you. That kind of seed. Seed that you're dropping so that you can get back. You won't get anything. Because you have made this money thing a primary thing in your heart. The Lord doesn't expect it. He said clearly, that's how Gentiles behave. Gentiles wake up every day trying to see how they can get. It's the focus of their prayer. It's the focus of their sacrifices. They go to junctions trying to solve their problems. The Lord said it clearly. That is how Gentiles behave. That Christians are not supposed to behave like that. How are they supposed to behave? He says, seek first the kingdom of God. And what? And what? This is my own explanation of it. The way by which you seek the kingdom of God is not by trying primarily to say, let's organize a political party so we can put a Christian in office. No. We organize our spiritual party, are you getting my point? To teach every Christian righteousness. You hear what I said? What we do is to organize our spiritual, in quote now, party to teach every Christian righteousness. And when we do that, they will be promoted into the right places in life. I'm going somewhere. What God expects of us is not that I wake up every day and need a better job. He said, I know you need these things already. That's what I want you to bear in mind. He said, I know you need these things already. God doesn't expect us to want to pray. Now, this is my year of promotion, so let me start praying so that I will get promotion this year. God said, I heard you the first time. I am aware that you need to be promoted where you work. He said, what should you be doing? We are asking. He says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. That is, your prayer point must be on the establishment, one, of righteousness in your life, and two, of righteousness around you. That when you do that, he said, I will add every other thing to you. Please follow me. This is so crucial that we get it. I said to us before, and I'm saying it again, the extent to which things are not being added is the extent to which we are not seeking the right things. People say, pray more. You have not yet prayed. One man said something once. You are going to laugh when I tell you. He said one day he reasoned that he has tithed and tithed and tithed. He hasn't seen the results. He has given offering and given offering. That something he is not, has not yet broken. Then he began to pray. And the Lord now said, there's one key that's missing. What is that key? That he's not servicing his prophet. And he was talking and talking that what you now need to do so that your tithes and your offering can produce is so that you start servicing your prophet. Sorry, how do you service a prophet? Thank you. You sow more seed. Now, if you notice something, this is a mistake. The tithes from what he has said, the offerings, they are all so that he can see a breakthrough in his life. He hasn't seen it. He now decided that it's because he has not servicing what? His prophet. He didn't realize that Jesus said the reason. Jesus said the problem is that you are not seeking the right things. That's what the Lord said. He said, because if you were seeking the right things, every other thing would have been added to you. What should the man have done? Why are things not being added to me? He now said, no, I need to pray more about those things. He said, no, there must be something that I am not seeking correctly, which is causing an obstruction to my life. I say it all the time. I'm a man. I'm looking for a wife, as an example. If I asked the Lord about it last year, God said, I heard you. Should I ask you again? No, I heard you the first time. The only thing I expect you now to do towards that, prepare to be a good husband. That's the only, any other thing more than that, you are disturbing the flow of the anointing. Let me put it like that. He said, go and learn patience. Do you want a good wife or a bad wife? Say a good wife. Do you think I, God, will give a good wife to a bad man? And between me and you, you know you are bad. Say, Lord, what do I do? Then I am going to settle down and become good. Do you follow my point? Every office in life has a divine assignment. The other day I was teaching my son, because he's a young boy. He's about to become a teenager. But he's big. When you see him, you think he's already a teenager. You know him. So one day it was when we were going to Ondo. My schedule was interesting. What I mean is that I didn't know my wife would be around. When my wife was planning her trip, I didn't check my own calendar. So it turned out that the week she traveled was the week we were supposed to go to Ondo. And normally I like somebody being in the house, either her or me. We have an adult with us anyway. But anyway, let's make a long story short. For a day or two, now that my wife and I will be around with the kids, just other people in the house. So I was telling my son that, listen, I'm putting you in charge of your younger ones. And he has to look after all the younger ones, four of them. So I began to explain to him how to keep peace and order. Because they will all sit together to maybe watch the same television. And you know the way children are. I want to watch this one. The boys generally, my daughter likes to watch something different from what the boys want to watch. Then the smaller boys will rather watch something, you know, different from what the older boys want to watch. And the older guy, I can't even be the oldest now. He won't understand why people are watching this senseless thing. Let him watch something that has more action and has more brain in it. Let's make a long story short. Now, I'm not telling him, be in charge of everybody while I'm gone. So you know what's going to happen if you do that kind of thing? Everybody's going to watch what he wants to watch. it's just human nature. If I thought the Yinka was with me, I was laughing. I said, let me explain to you why you have authority. I said, you are not going to watch what you want. You are going to make sure what is right is what is done. I said, you are going to learn to share out things equitably. If your brother wants this, your sister wants this, you will decide who should get it based on who has gotten the other one. I said, you use equity. I taught him, I explained to him, I said, that is why I'm giving you this power and this authority, to use it to do righteousness and justice. You are getting my point? Fayinka was laughing that day. I explained to the young boy very well, so I'm not giving you the right to go and enjoy. I'm giving you the work to put order, so you have to learn how to share things properly. Now, you know why I tell the story? That many of the things we're aspiring to in life, the world has given us a wrong idea of what God made it for. And we are praying without realizing it according to worldly ideas of the purpose of it. And the Lord, that is why he's not been able. That's the word. He has not been able to release those things into our lives. And that's why he said, go and seek first his righteousness. What is his righteousness? Go and understand why I want to make Abraham rich. Do you get my point? Go and understand why I want to give Abraham a family. Like he said concerning Abraham, I have chosen him so that he will command his household, his children and his household after him, how to do righteousness and justice. So Abraham, your household will not grow until you learn righteousness and justice. So the extent of the growth of the household of Abraham is the extent to which Abraham learns righteousness and justice. So that I mean by wrong prayer points. But people often don't do like that. I say, now back to what I was saying. Now, you know, I told that one of my colleagues told me something. Can you remember? Yes, I'm back to it now. You know what we often do? See, every enemy that doesn't want me to increase, this year, they will die by fire. All the people that are ganging up against my progress, listen to me. There is nobody that can effectively gang up against your progress. How many times do I have to say this? There is nobody that can effectively gang up against your progress. The only person that gangs up effectively against your progress is you. Many times in manners that you don't understand. That, my friend, that's what he said. Let me now tell you what he said. He said, there's a culture that the Jews had that the church has lost. I was impressed by the way he put it. He said, those days, if Israel, okay, let me put it like this, the culture that Israel had, I don't want to just say the Jews. You know Jews is just for Judah. You understand what I'm saying? Yeah, Israel is a bigger nation, okay? So we're talking about Israel. He said, if Israel went to war and they lost in battle, they never worried about the strength of their enemies. They asked themselves, what happened? Joshua will go and fall down before God. Yeah. What happened? Lord, where were you? How could you let this happen to us? It didn't cross their mind. That's because their enemies were strong. Are you getting my point? If Israel had a problem, Moses was concerned about what happened. Why should this kind of thing happen? It doesn't cross their mind that, you know, we are fighting those who are bigger than us. Let's begin to pray. All the altars that are raised up against us. What do you call it? Altar for altar. Let me say it to you again, Christians. That is very common in Christianity of today. Please run away from it. It's a joke. I keep on saying this thing. I'm sure those of you who have heard me here, you have heard it enough, but you are tired of hearing me. But you will continue to hear. You know why? Because you are going to live here, you are going to go home. I have to continue to say this until you are established in them. So start raising altars. It doesn't cross. Look, that's what my colleague told me, that we're just telling stories about things in the country, in the body of Christ. He said, for Israel, it wasn't like that. If anything went wrong, Israel fell on his knees. And he would say, God, what happened? It wasn't that, I thought they are strong. No, it's what did we do? And God would say, come. I told you people, when you go there, don't take anything. One of you took something. They say, who? They begin to check. They find Achan. Then they open the tent of Achan. They find the things that he stole. The problem was never the enemies. It wasn't the people of Ai that was the problem. It was Achan that took what he was not supposed to take from. Was it Jericho? They will seek the kingdom and his righteousness. And every other victory after that will now be added to them. Do you get my point?
Yes,
that's why when I was hearing Islamic agenda, it used to irritate me. I remember when the Emir of Kano, when he was the CBN governor, when he was going to license Islamic banks, the way Christians reacted, I was just thoroughly irritated. You behave like victims. You understand when you behave like that? Like they want to oppress us. We inferior people. Funny enough, somebody said that it was not even the man that started the idea of Islamic banking. That issue started under the former governor before him. That was Charles Soludo. And just for the record, I couldn't see what the problem was. They are not saying First Bank should become an Islamic bank. They said we want a license to operate a banking system according to our religious beliefs. I couldn't get why people were talking. One day I was calling some people, they said, it's attitudes like this that make Christians go down. That my attitude, my own attitude. That I'm complacent. I said, you want me to go and be raising placard against, if you too need a Christian bank, go and apply for a license. And you know, sometimes Christians behave in such a manner that they just make yourself look like, I don't want to, which word do I use? I told God I won't be using bad words, apart from bad things. So I can't behave as if they don't think. You know what happened that time? It's just like the Muslims wanted land to build a mosque, and you say no. This is why Nigeria is going to become Islamic. That's exactly what we're doing. And you turn yourself, just make enemies for yourself unnecessarily. Now, the point I'm trying to get something out here. I said that time that's not the problem. The people talk about Islamic agenda. The only agenda Islam has is to replace Christianity that has lost its savour. It was given to it by God. I don't know what I heard I said. I'm not saying that they are thinking about it, but the only power any religion has against Christianity is when Christianity is not true Christianity. David Paulson said that the Lord revealed to him that UK is going to become an Islamic country. He said this long ago, that United Kingdom is going to become an Islamic. He has preached messages, left them behind for how true Christians should handle their lives under persecution. The United Kingdom is going to become a Muslim nation, just like Turkey. I wasn't what I said it to. David Paulson, the man is about, is 80-something now. He prayed this about 10 years ago, that one day the Spirit of God came heavily upon him, and that revelation came to him, and he went and shared with some other people. And they said, you are very correct. And he began to preach it. And he went around teaching UK Christians that this is your land. God has given it over to Islam. Why? He said, that is the only way Christianity there will become purified. That they have become, that is, what was he trying to explain? The salt had lost its savor. They were amongst the first countries in this world to legalize all kinds of marriages. It's an offense. Many men have been arrested for reading Romans chapter 1, a portion of the Bible, out loud. Why? Because it offends the homosexual community. Because Romans chapter 1 talked about God's attitude towards those things. So you can't read it. People have been put in prison for preaching on the... And you know, people won't know. Little by little, it starts. This is in the United Kingdom. And David Paulson said that it is God that is pouring forth judgment upon the land and said the punishment for the backsliding of the saints is I will make them serve other gods under pressure. Because if you don't serve the Lord thy God with a joyful heart, you will serve their enemies with a painful heart. It's God's commandment. My message about it is not, I'm not talking about Islamic advancement, but is that Christians fight wrong fights. My colleague told me that he said, no, the way God taught Israel, that in fact, he said something you've heard me say here many times, that Israel was not consciously aware of who the devil was. They were just aware that if we suffered, we have sinned against our God. Are you seeing what I'm saying? Now, talking about Christians directing their prayers appropriately. Our prayers as believers. Listen, I'm trying to talk about this issue of the kingdom of God again. And how we are supposed to ensure that the kingdom is established in our hearts. And I said that we do that by seeking after his righteousness. That's what I'm going to emphasize. By seeking after his righteousness. By seeking after his righteousness. That people focus on their needs. God said, no, stop focusing on your needs. Don't worry about your needs. I know the things that you need. What do you now do? Focus on my righteousness. Let me give one practical thing. If the Lord stirs up, I want to use the expression, if the Lord stirs up a desire for something else in your life, maybe promotion, increase in where you work, something. Don't go and say, God, I must be promoted. No. Go and say, God, what is the job of those who occupy that seat? Did you hear what I said? What did you ordain for them to do? Because there is something that God ordained for them to do. If you are looking at, this is how the world looks at it. You know, when you are the chief medical director, you have a brand new Prado from the federal government. You move to a new apartment. You have security guards. Anytime you go to Abuja for a meeting, you are paid out of station allowance and you calculate it. When you finish like that, all other things shall be removed from you. Did you hear what I said? Everything will be, the little promotion you thought you had, God will collect it back. Say, my son knows nothing. This is my girl, she does not know anything. So if you are designing that position as a believer, this is your prayer point. Lord, people on that post, what are they supposed to do? God now begins to give you the law, the way he gave to Israel. A king is not supposed to multiply horses to himself. So you should desire to continue to use this your car, even when you become the chief medical director. That should be your desire. If you look at that Prado again, are you getting my point? Now, I'll still get back to what, these are Psalm 16, because we're going to read it together again. Then you look around and say, things are not working well. How can I use my office to ensure they work well? Where are the people there currently not doing it right according to divine ordinance? It is that divine order, the plan, the desire of God for a man who occupies that position that you will seek day and night. Never pray for that office for yourself. No. I keep on saying, David did not ever for one day. We are not aware of it, that he did like that. We can assume he never did. Say, God, one day I want to be king in Israel. Why would he say so? Israel didn't have a king until that time. They were not used to kings. You know, God rejected Saul shortly after he was made king. So David wasn't praying about it. What God saw in the heart of David was a man who will do all my desires. So the question is, Lord, for this position that my heart is reaching out for, what is your desire? You know what God needs in this generation? Christians who love poverty, the way poverty is, as far as God is concerned. Yes. What do I mean by that? Please get me clear. I'm not saying people who want to die of hunger. That's not what I mean. That is, they want to take pride in the fact that I occupied a high-level government position for 4 years. And when I came out, I returned to the car I was driving beforehand. They are looking forward to being able to brag on it. I don't know what I heard what I said.